The Bima Beat Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at Zaxby's.com/podcast. That's Zaxby's.com/podcast.
Good morning. It's Wednesday morning as we're taping our Tide Sports Alabama basketball podcast. And first, we're going to go to Hunter for the for some insight into disappointment.
The sun came out this morning. Everything's, you know, it's not the way we want it to be. It's all right, though. First, real quick, I want to welcome a new sponsor that we have for the podcast. This is a company that I really, really enjoy their products. It's not a difficult ad read for me to do because I really, really like this company. And it's Wickles, pickled okra, pickled pickles. We are just really, really excited to have. They're an Alabama company. You can find them at, you know, grocery stores all over the state. Really, really excited to partner with them, and excited to have them on board. And so now we can get to the game. Cecil, not the outcome that we were hoping for.
Well, you know, I understand, and Hunter is speaking as a fan,
obviously,
that a lot of enthusiasm and I thought a good atmosphere from the crowd that was there.
Oh, when Kyrie hit that shot late, yeah, I mean, that place was loud.
When Reese hit a dunk to tie the game, it was, and really all through the last 7 minutes when Alabama staged a comeback. So here's the two things we're going to do. We are not going to have a knee-jerk reaction here. First.
I did that last night.
First,
I'm okay now.
Yeah, first. Not going to blame Kyra Lewis because he missed two free throws at the end. You have a one-point game. Every possession could go a different way and affect the outcome of that game.
Right.
You can, if you want to blame Kyra because he was in that situation, you can. Just be sure and credit Kyra for a 30-point performance, without which Alabama would not have been remotely close in that game. So, disappointing way to end. Nobody more upset or emotional or disappointed about it than Kyra Lewis. But you know, if you want to blame it on him, then I guess that's your prerogative. If you want to blame it on Mike Nance and crew, I'm not a. As anybody who follows my Twitter feed knows, I don't comment on calls very rarely. I thought the missed tip-in by John Petty, I don't know what they were seeing on the replay.
Right.
That didn't cause that to be overturned.
And I didn't think they were going to overturn it just because I didn't have any confidence in
Well, they'd just gotten an overturn.
And they weren't going to do that to him twice. They weren't going to overturn.
Yeah, they'd just gotten an overturn on a ball, which was also an easy call that they just missed.
Right.
So, again, not going to blame the officials. Not going to blame Kyra. Not going to blame the officials. So what we're going to do, and I'm not going to get into specifics, but there were people on Twitter and people who were, oh, it's same thing. Couldn't make three-pointers, couldn't make free throws. The free throw percentage was identical.
Right.
And in Alabama, we're both shooting 75%, and then Kyra missed two at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, if that's the sample size you want to go with, you can go with that sample size. So we're going to try and make this a learning experience rather than just, oh, they couldn't make any three-pointers. There's a reason they couldn't. There's a reason why the offense didn't look as good against Penn as it looked against Georgia Tech. And we're going to try and explain a little bit of that.
All right.
As part of the educational duties, and good basketball fans know this, and this is more addressed to people who want to have a knee-jerk reaction.
And there's plenty of that out there. And I'll admit, a little bit, you know, the immediacy of it, I was probably a little knee-jerky right away.
Yeah.
Because, it did just feel like, just if you're looking, it did feel like a typical Alabama basketball thing. You know, we get excited and then something, you know, whenever good things happen, bad things are sure to follow. But after kind of sitting back and thinking about it, You know, it wasn't just like last year. It's not just like everything. I mean, we put up 76 shots. We don't normally
scored 80 points.
Scored 80 points. Now, did the ending suck? Yeah, but we played a completely different style of basketball. And if anything, I think we were slower. We're definitely slower than we'd like to be. And that's just because Penn's a really good team, and they're going to slow things down against anybody.
Sure, they're well coached. Their coach understood that he wasn't going to out-athlete Alabama. That wasn't – so Alabama has a way that they want to play, and Penn didn't want to play that way.
Right.
And Penn was able to play, for the most part, the way they wanted to play.
And that's what good teams do. They make you play the way they want to play.
So here was the situation last night. First, injuries are part of basketball. I do think of people who – when Alabama has 13 players on scholarship. One's Javon Quinterly, who's not eligible, and Alabama knew that you know, hopefully there'll be a decision one way or another by Monday, and it could be before Monday.
Right.
And they'll be able to move forward one way or the other.
Right.
And Javon will either get to play, which would help the depth situation, or he won't. But so that's 12. James Rojas is injured and lost for a year. That's 11. I had people say, well, 11's plenty. Juwan Gary gets injured, and he's hurt for the year. Well, that's 10. Well, 10's plenty. You know, 10 players is plenty. Raymond Hawkins just isn't ready to play. He's just conditioning, and, you know, he had an offseason injury, and he's just not ready to get in there. He played 2 minutes in the exhibition, I think. Now you're at nine.
Which is that's a rotation.
Everything I hear. Wimp won in 87 with nine.
Yeah.
He did. You can have nine. If all nine are SEC caliber players, then that's great. That's what he had
and
in 87.
All nine
if you have the SEC player of the year and another first round draft choice and, you know, experienced senior guys, nine's okay. Yeah. Now, of those nine, none of them are shot-blocking, rim-protecting presences to begin with. So, then you've got 9 minutes and change into the game. Your best defender goes out for the rest of the game.
By
Herb
far,
Jones.
I mean, one of the elite on-ball defenders in the country. Yeah.
So, from that point on, you're trying to win that game with eight players, without your best defender, and they struggle to get stops. They were rotating guys in the post. I don't think Bolden was at 100%. People saw, you know, he had a big wrap on his hand. He had, you know, a rib protector like a quarterback wears for his shoulder. I don't think Alex Reese was at 100%. You know, he'd been bothered. Hadn't practiced in 4 days. Neither one of those guys had practiced for 4 days. That's why Shackelford started instead of Reese. So you say, well, you know, they made 11 out of 37 3-pointers. Well, here's what happens. It's hard to get stops. And credit Penn. Penn's a good offensive team. Brodeur is a load down low. He'll be tough against anybody.
And then Dingle in the second
Dingle,
half.
Who's a freshman, really played well. I thought one of the big plays in the game was late when it was I think Alabama was down one and Reese blocks a shot out more on the perimeter, and it's a loose ball and Dingle runs it down and shoots a three. Well, you'd rather Alex just gave up the two, just let the guy go shoot the layup and give up the two, but instead they get a three out of that. Now you got to get to the loose ball. Not sugarcoating that. Go get the ball. But that's the kind of thing. In a one-point game, you can do a thousand of those things.
Right.
So anyway, you're having a hard time stopping Penn. Well, how does that affect the offense? Well, what Alabama wants to do offensively is push, play tempo, shoot threes in rhythm, run down. What they don't want to do is take the ball out of the net, walk it up, and play half-court offense. That's not Nate Oates' style. They're not real good at it.
Right.
And because Alabama also, without Rojas, without Gary, they don't have a player that you'd a post player that you'd run a play for and say, okay, he's going to score. Javion Davis, Galen Smith, they're doing, you know, they're playing hard. It's not an effort thing. It's a skill level, offensive skill level, size, footwork. And in one instance, Javion getting the ball, really gathering up, taking it strong, putting it in the hole, and getting a charging call that I could not begin to explain.
Yeah.
The guy wasn't set. He wasn't, you know.
Well, they kind of made up for it, though, because the time that he did score was probably a charge.
Probably a charge. So it balances out, again, in a 40-minute game. And not complaining about the officials.
But he took two shots. Galen didn't take one.
Yeah, so you don't have
that.
You got
2 points between the guys who are playing the five pretty much the whole time.
So, Hunter, if you don't have an option down there, how are teams going to defend your three-point shooters?
They're going to guard your ass all the way from half court on, and they're going to get after you and deny passing lanes, and that's exactly what Penn did.
So why did they make 17 three-pointers against Georgia Tech and 11 against Penn?
Yeah. Because
Georgia Tech's having to guard them in transition, having to get the shooters, you know, having to run at guys. Penn's picking guys up at, you know, the shooters. Petty, Shackelford, they're picking those guys up. Kyra. And Kyra's good enough that he dribbled past a lot of it.
Right.
They're picking those guys up 30 feet from the basket. So that's why it's not just this cosmic, oh, well, they can't shoot. No, they don't shoot as well when they're closely guarded from 30 feet away as they do when they're transition game is going and they're getting open looks.
That's basketball.
That's not anything other than basketball.
Yeah.
And one thing on this podcast I will say, this is not the first time the issue of having rim protectors on defense has come up.
We've been talking about it.
And we've been talking about when they play North Carolina, when they go up to Penn State and play against Lamar Stevens, who's 6'8", 240. Didn't make the five-man AP All-American team, but if there were a 10-man team, you know, he's on a lot of those. Somebody's got to guard him. Yep. Somebody's got to do something with him. So people have to understand that that's the transition that this team is going through.
And I never really...
And, you know, the way you get out of that, you recruit your way out of it.
You know, I think we kind of took Dante Hall for granted for the last 4 years because, you know, he might not have been the most skilled big man, you know, maybe not that guy you can always count on getting a bucket down low, but dude protected the rim. He made it so you were not getting easy buckets just from his shot blocking perspective.
Yeah.
And we don't have that. You know, Reese had a block. We had a few blocks, but they're not like... These aren't the type of blocks that Dante Hall was getting last year. These are like, you know, down low blocks, whereas Dante could swat something, you know, into the seat.
Yeah, Brodeur's got to change a shot or two or three. You know, try to shoot over him, try and take a little fade instead of going right to the rack.
Or Dingle might have to shoot a floater instead of being able to lay it off the back.
And Dante's graduated. You know, that's the nature of basketball. Nobody says it would be more fair if he got to play 5 years. Right. That's not the point. Rojas might have helped.
Right.
Juwan Gary might have helped. Mm-hmm. You know, and so back to the rotation, yes, you can play with – Alabama played with three guys against Minnesota last year. You know, maybe you can play with three and depth doesn't matter. But when you've got eight, when you've got – and this is not a knock on a kid who made a couple of good plays, but – is a freshman. Jalen Forbes played 19 minutes in that game.
I was just about to say that between you in an ideal situation, and this is where Herb's injury really came into play. Mm-hmm. You get 30 minutes from Shackelford, and I'm throwing 17 minutes from Forbes.
Okay, 17. Yeah,
that's still. I don't think going into the season, our plan was ever going to be for Jalen Forbes to play 17.
Play five.
Yeah, you know. Five. Yeah, give us five, maybe 10, never 17. And I don't think, you know, Shackelford more like 20, not 30. And so you end up with Shackelford, you know, you're playing these freshmen who really haven't had to guard anybody much, you know, especially with Shackelford. Yeah, Shackelford's going to get you some buckets, but you're essentially trading out Herb for Shackelford. You're going to lose a lot defensively when you have to make that trade.
Sure, sure. And that's just a freshman. That's right. No knock on Shackelford.
Oh, no. And I think he has opportunity to be a good defender. He's got the body for it.
Right.
But like we've talked about on this podcast, he had never had to guard anybody. And last night he did. And I think you saw Oates. Oates was on him pretty hard during
the one game. Time he didn't get back in transition.
Right.
And that's what really set Oates off.
We come back on offense and Oates is just chewing him.
Yeah. Gave up a layup, not getting back.
That's a bucket. If you want to blame Kyra, you could just as easily blame Shackelford for not getting. I'm not saying that we should blame individuals, but
no. But there were 100, literally 100 things that they could have done better, and each one could have, and they could have gotten a break. You know, but you don't worry about breaks. You worry about the things you can do better.
Right.
And they need to do those things better.
In an ideal situation, you're not wanting Jaden Shackelford to shoot 20 times in a game. I don't think anybody was looking for that. But, I agree with you. I think it came down to the fact that we could not get stops, which led to our offense being bad. And when you lose your best perimeter defender and you don't protect the rim well, that's not a great recipe for success on the defensive end, which leads to bad things happening on offense. Sleeping on it last night, I do still feel better about where we're going. It's not like the season's over because we lost to Penn. And by God, I mean, as Alabama fans, we know how it feels to lose to a mid-major early. It's become par for the course. But I know that our schedule is still going to set up well enough for us where, I mean, this is at worst would be a group of three loss. I think it'll probably end up being a two.
Probably a two.
Need to be pulling for Penn the rest of the year. But probably end up being a two. So it's not, something, a huge loss. It's going to hurt us that much down the road, but it would have been a good win. Get 6 days off, Florida Atlantic, coming to town on Monday. Hopefully, at that point, we know something on Quinterly.
And on Herb.
Herb having the MRI today, kind of worried about that. Hopefully, with this having 6 days off, it will give Reese a few days where he can rest and try to get that hip better, and also give Bolden a few days, to try to get better, too. I don't know what the severity is of that hand injury. I know he's got shoulder stuff, too. I think the days off will be good. And then two games next week, one of which is on the road at Rhode Island, our first road test.
Here's the one thing, and we'll wrap up with this, but anybody who wants to just chuck it and give up after one game needs to give up. I mean, that's fine.
We don't need those people.
That's I'm not saying who's needed or whatever. I'm saying Hunter's saying that. I'm just saying, if that's the way you choose to approach it, that's fine. But Nate Oates was brought in to play a certain way, a certain style of play that everybody's excited about, that he's going to stick with, that he believes in, and he's going to stick with. And, it's a question of how much they improve from this point. But to chuck it after one game and, say, need to do something different,
Well,
what different? What was Krzyzewski going to do with that personnel last night defensively?
Yeah, with our personnel, what are you going to do? Run the high post? There's not a ton that you can do when you're playing that personnel.
So they're going to play the style that they're playing, which is a up tempo, fast paced style. They're going to stick with it. They're going to try and get better at it.
Right.
And whether that'll be NCAA tournament or where that'll be, there's 31 games left to see.
And with this schedule and with how difficult the SEC is, there's going to be a lot of games like last night.
Sure.
There's going to be a lot of games that could go either way at the very end.
Yeah,
and it's like a razor-thin margin between being 7-11 in the league or 11-7 in the league.
And then at that point, Kyra's got to step up and hit two free throws. Right. But, here's – again, just a couple of asides, and we're going to wrap up. But watched a little bit of Mississippi State's exhibition game against South Alabama. They got four inside guys. I mean, not just Perry. Who's great, but Adu and Woodard. And they've got a freshman that's, 6'9 and 240. Any of those guys would start for Alabama. Mm-hmm. Any of the four would help Alabama. And that's where you are in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky, you got to see. I didn't get to see Kentucky last night.
They looked like a typical Kentucky team. It's like just plug and place.
Yeah. Florida, I think, a little bit of the same. And saw maybe 5 seconds of highlights from them, but they look like they're going to be that way. So it's going to be, you know, it's not a situation where you just come in and it's instantly your guys are ready.
And it's
Kyra gives you a chance because he can score 30 points. Great offensive performance last night under the circumstances. But it's putting a big load on him, and it's putting a bigger load on him if he's got to play 38 minutes.
And you don't have Herb to, you know, run some point guard.
Don't have Herb. Don't, you know, if all of a sudden you have Quinterly, if Beadle gets better, than that, then he's playing 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
His legs are a little fresher at the end.
Right.
So.
And also, you know, you talk about it's one game. And yeah, these guys have been practicing this new system, but it takes time to install a system. Like, I realize that they've been practicing, but like, it's different in a game scenario. And like, this was our first real game running this system. And I thought you could see, I mean, they some rough turnovers, but that's going to happen. And then when you play this fast, and especially when you're new at playing this fast. So yeah, anybody who wants to quit, I don't understand that. I still feel very good about where this basketball team can be. And there's still a lot of external things that, you know, whether it be Herb, the injuries to Alex and Bolden, and then obviously Quinterly, you know, if those dominoes fall for us and you know, we have all those guys, I still think we can be a very, very damn good basketball team.
Well, and it's not sugarcoat. There were 100 negative things,
mm-hmm.
you know, 100 plays last night or 100, you know, 50 on each end of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could have done things better. Well, you know, could have done things better. But they were down. They were in a tough situation. Came back at the end. Had a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
So there had to be some positives in there with the negatives.
Right. And as another positive, I will say this. I feel like I did the same thing for the Georgia Tech game. Got there and saw the crowd, and I was a little disappointed. But I think it was kind of a late-arriving crowd. By the time the under 15 time out, there was probably 10,000 people there. I think the listed attendance was 11. I thought the crowd was really, really good in the second half. You know, we get down by 9 and start battling back. And it seemed like every time we would cut it to 4 – that crowd would start standing up. I stood for, and I was, you know, I was sitting at midcourt, and I stood probably for as long as I have at an Alabama basketball game in a long time. The fans were into it. It was loud, like you said, on Reese's dunk, on Kyra's three, on the last possession that they had. It was loud. So props to the fans. I hope that continues. Don't get down just because of the one loss. Let's have another good crowd for Florida Atlantic, and you know, do our best to try to will this basketball team to good things. So. That went better than I thought it would. I was a little bit worried last night. I was like, man, I'm going to have to talk.
We're going to have to set up to do one like 10 minutes after the game.
Oh, that would be bad. That would be really, really bad.
Get some raw Hunter.
Yeah, you don't want that. Cecil got a little bit of it last night on the phone. I don't think anybody wants that, though. So, well, look, y'all, thank you again for listening. We really, really enjoy doing this.
Yeah, we really appreciate the feedback on this.
Appreciate the feedback. Leave reviews on Apple for us in the Apple Store. That makes us look good to our bosses. So yeah, we appreciate it, and we will try to do this. I guess we'll probably do it again. You know, what, next Tuesday after the Florida Atlantic game?
Yeah, so. Probably so.
All right, thanks, Cecil.
This episode of the Bama Beat Podcast has been brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast. That's zaxby's.com/podcast.